When we look at Scripture, we realize Scripture speaks to who we are, what it is He wants to do in and through us, how He wants to use us, what He wants to accomplish through us throughout our lifetime. And one of the interesting parts about all of our journey is we have unique and special moments that unfold for our lives as we look and stay faithful to who He is. And today I want to talk to you about the vision for the future. And when I think about vision, I think about something that motivates and compels and captures the heart of someone when they all of a sudden realize that God is speaking to them. Now, you may be just like me. Sometimes vision takes a while. Sometimes it takes a little while to hear clearly what it is that God is trying to say. But when the vision arrives and you begin to hear God speak, you know without a doubt it is Him. In fact, when you think about vision, vision takes a concept and delivers it all the way to God's ultimate intent. In other words, what God wants to do with us, He puts us in a place where He can use us. And as He begins to use us, we yield more to His word. And as we yield to His word, He begins to do a work in and through us. Today I want to take you through a little journey of how vision arrived in my heart, in a leadership team's heart, in a staff's heart, and how God has placed us at the most amazing and exciting moment. When I think about the young life of our church and what God has for us around the corner in the next chapter of our journey, I get absolutely thrilled and excited. So today I want to take you through, from a biblical perspective, what it is that God has said to me. Because the truth is, as your shepherd, I have faithfully led our church from the very first day that we started. And it's always been my intent to allow His word to speak clearly to whatever it is that we would do. And what I want to do today is I want to show you some promises that God used to put me in a place where I could hear clearly what it was that God was saying to my heart. So take your Bible. We begin in Psalm 78. And as we look at this psalm, you realize that these are all promises that interlink into what it is that God is trying to say to it. Psalm 78, beginning in verse 4. We will not conceal them from our children, but tell to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wondrous works that He has done. For He has established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should teach them to their children, that the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and tell them to their children that they should put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. Psalm 90. Look at three verses with me, beginning in verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may present to You a heart of wisdom. Verse 16. Let Your work appear to Your servants, and Your majesty to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and confirm for us the work of our hands. Yes, confirm the work of our hands. And if you're reading verse 16 in the New Living Translation, it reads like this. Let us see You work again, and let our children see Your glory. Look on with me, if you would. From this passage, look at Psalm 102 and verse 18. Bet you had no idea you'd be going through the whole Bible today. I'm not done yet, so hang on there. I may even bring you some more verses before it's over. Verse 18. This will be written for the generation to come, that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 30. Look, if you would, at verse 18. This is the promise that was the sealing verse of the entire vision for me. Therefore, the Lord longs to be gracious to you, and therefore He waits on high to have compassion on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. How blessed are those who long for Him. O people in Zion, inhabitants in Jerusalem, you will weep no longer. He will surely, listen to this, He will surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry when He hears it. He will answer you. And all the Lord has given you bread of privation and water of oppression, He, your teacher, listen to this, will no longer hide Himself, but your eyes will behold your teacher, and your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way, walk in it, whenever you turn to the right or to the left. As you look at this, you realize that here is a promise that opens our hearts up to God's direction. Now, if you would, turn on over, because now we find ourselves in Hosea. And I gave you a warning so you could try to find him somewhere in there. Let me just say to you, Hosea is a story of when people miss God's best and what happens as a result of it. And I can assure you of this, as long as we have breath as one heart, we will not miss what God has for us. We will not miss the opportunity to change the world. We will send 70 people in different places in the world this year. We will spend $400,000 impacting the world. We will position our church to accomplish its purpose. And it's because we absolutely believe that God has a perfect plan for us. Look on at Hosea, because you find a verse there that I want to highlight for you, because it was the verse of promise that God gave me for this mission trip. And I shared it on the very first night when our group arrived. Hosea chapter 14. Look, if you would, at the very last part of the third verse. And notice what Hosea records. For in you, the orphan finds mercy. There's no way to describe to you the power of that verse. Because when we think about the mercy of God, the very first mercies we think about are grace and love. The very essence of what an orphan needs the most. To know someone cares and to know how God can work in their life. Look on over, if you would, to one more verse. Romans chapter 12. As you turn to that verse, you're very familiar with it, but I want you to look at it because it is very critical for us not to miss the message of this 12th chapter. Romans chapter 12. Look, if you would, at just verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. When you read this, you realize there's a very qualifying aspect of this verse. If it is not sacrificial, it is not acceptable. In other words, if it doesn't take you beyond your comfort zone, then it is not what God intends. And what I want you to understand today is that today I will call you to a level I have never called you to before. To sacrifice at a level you have never sacrificed it before. To give your life away for God's purpose. Because this is the hour in which God has called us to a big task. But we have a great God. Now when you think about that, you immediately realize that all these verses all connect into certain principles. First of all, there's this focus on the next generation. There's this focus on being aware of what it is that God intends to do. There's an awareness that He is at work in amazing ways to guide us and to direct us and speak to our hearts. But I want to illustrate with you just three very simple illustrations that happened this past week while in Romania that really set, every one of them were affirmations to me about what we're doing. The first one I'll illustrate with you was a middle-aged gentleman who was at the service we preached at in our very last service on Thursday night. Think about this. He's from New Zealand. He was in Romania. He's been ministering in Africa. Now, only God could get a guy to go all those places and end up at the Efrata Baptist Church in Lugoj, Romania, the night we're there. And he began to tell a story. He was 27 years old when he got saved. He gave his heart to Christ. And at 27 years old, he had no idea who God was, how God worked, what the Bible was about, or anything. But the guy who led him to Christ gave him a Bible. Well, he didn't know what to do with it. And so he put it under his chair. Wasn't sure it was supposed to be out anywhere. Wasn't sure what he's supposed to do with it. But the guy said to him something really amazing. He said, read it, and if it speaks to you, do it. Well, the first night after he gave his heart to Christ, he found himself, he reached under his chair, picked the Bible up, and began to read. Let's just look at what he read. This will show you how intriguing and unique God really is. Look at Matthew chapter 19. And look, if you would, at verse 21. And remember, this is a guy who knew nothing about God. He'd just given his heart to Christ. Look at verse 21. If you wish to be complete, that's Jesus speaking, go and sell your possession, give to the poor, and you'll have a treasure in heaven, and come follow me. I want you to imagine for a second. This guy is totally startled. Because not only does he read it, but God speaks to him. And he's sitting there and he says, you know what? I had this money saved up to buy a farm. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be able to have a farm to be able to. I'd spent my young years raising all this money, working hard, saving it. And yet, the reality is, in that same very week, he met a single mom with two children who was struggling to make it. And he took this principle of Scripture and he applied it to his life. And from that moment, listen carefully, from that moment of helping a single lady struggling to make it, he has spent his life impacting the world. It only took a moment. And then you find yourself in a big church in Timișoara, Romania, preaching, but you invite six little orphan girls to sing for you. And as they begin to sing, you realize that God has put them in your life for a very specific reason. After they finished, I told the story to the church. Manuel translated for me. I said to them, these are children from a placement center in Gabastia. But more than that, they are my children, and they're the children I love. Well, that night, we had a big giant service, baptized a senator from the Parliament of Romania, 22 other people. They were having this big festive dinner after the service down in the basement where the dining hall was. And I stood in the lobby of the church and I said to myself, I get to make the wisest choice of my life. I will either show those orphan girls that they find mercy from the Lord by going with them, or I'll go downstairs and hobnob with a bunch of politicians. Well, I went to a pizza restaurant with those girls, and those girls never let go of me because they realized that I'd set aside what appeared to be important for what was really important. A final experience, sitting at dinner on the last night, we were there, an American was there who'd been going to Romania since 1992. I asked her to share a story, and she began to share a story, and her story was intriguing because she had come to Christ, and after giving her heart to Christ, she realized that she so wanted her family to come to Christ, and she began to intercede and began to pray and began to believe, and then God came and arrived at her heart and said, you know what? They're all going to be saved. You can absolutely trust me. She took that promise, and it's interesting. She got an affirmation from God that allowed her to have a confirmation about what God was up to, that ultimately let her see transformation. You know, it took 25 years for God to save her husband, but she never doubted what he could do. And what I want you to see is, we must never doubt what God can do. If doubt enters into our world, it's centered in fear. But if faith enters into our world, it is centered in direction and purpose, and it's something God can use in all of our lives in an amazing way. And so, you think about those experiences, and all of a sudden they begin to speak to you, and they all come together, and you start going, wow, what do I do with all these experiences? And then it began to remind me of some principles that God has shown me over and over again. And the principles I want you to understand and grasp as we think about where it is that God's working in our lives right now. The first one is this, and I'm going to share five of them just quickly, but I want to make sure you get them all. Number one, God will affirm what he ultimately wants to transform. In other words, God will give you an affirmation. And in a moment, I'm going to carry you through some experiences of the journey of how he has affirmed what it is he wants us to do. But God will give you an affirmation of what he wants to transform in your life. That's why when you begin to seek him, you never let go of his promise. You never let go of his promise. One of those young ladies that was in that singing group, before the week was over, she asked me, could I call you Father? And I wrote her back and I said, you know, I have two, we were Facebook communicating, which by the way, one of the interesting things about there, at midnight, your phone lights up. There are all these teenagers in there, they're writing you at midnight. Probably when they're supposed to be asleep. But I began to tell her by way of communication that the most honorable thing that a child could ever do in our culture is for to call their child daddy. And I said, my girls who I love more than my own flesh, my girls, they call me daddy. And from that point on, Roxy no longer was categorically an orphan. She had a daddy to watch over her and to bless her. The principle, though, is this. God will affirm what he ultimately intends to transform. A second principle that's absolutely essential is that living for the next generation is the highest motivation that we can have. That's why we had 120 plus at Bible school. That's why over 200 kids were at Bible school in Romania. That's why we have gone into the world in different places. But what I want you to see is we must not live for our generation. We must live to impact the next generation because the children need to know that there is a God who loves them, has a plan for their life, and can speak to their hearts. A third principle that God really has written in my heart, sacrifice is a way of life for anyone who loves Jesus. And what you discover is, if you're not sacrificial, then your love for him is questionable. And sacrifice, by the way, is not just monetarily. Sacrifice is going to whatever length it takes to accomplish what God intends. You see, at midnight in Romania, I didn't want to be communicating with 7 different orphans at the same time. And yet the truth is, I stayed up till 2 a.m. on 2 different nights just communicating. I finally got to the point where I said, please, I must crash. I mean, I said, I know you think I'm young, but I'm not, and I need a rest. And see, sometimes we forget that sacrificial living is God's way. How I thank God that early in my life and early in Cindy's life, we as a couple realized you could never outgive God with your life, your time, your energy, everything. That's why when people say, what are your hobbies? If I have a hobby, it's making an orphan feel at home in this world. It's making our members realize that God has a plan for their life. It's speaking into your hearts that you would step up and cause you to realize you can be the best for Him. That's what I live for. That's my hobby. And yet sometimes we find ourselves caught up with hobbies. They don't get us anywhere. And what God wants us to see today is that He has a plan for our life. We just need to live sacrificially. There's a fourth principle. It's interesting because it connects into how we oftentimes live our lives. The impossible, listen to this, the impossible is centered in man. The possible is centered in God. In other words, Jesus said it over and over again. It may appear impossible to you, but with me, all things are possible. I never dreamed this day would ever arrive where I'd be talking about all this. But I can honestly say to you, I have had the affirmation of the Spirit of God rest on my heart that we are right where we're supposed to be to accomplish His purpose. There's one more principle I want to share with you, and it has to do with our future, because our future is anchored in an amazing God. Our future is centered in an amazing God. Don't you love that? That we don't serve a weak God who can't meet us at the point of our need. I read the story from Ukraine this morning. Interesting how messages come at the perfect time. And I read the story this morning of a young girl whose father had died. Her and her sister, father had died, and she got involved in the ministry that we're involved in there. Her name is Anya. And Anya, terrible seizures, difficulty. Well, 2 weeks ago, she gave her heart to Christ. And from that moment on, she's had no seizures at all. As I read that note, I said to myself, we serve an amazing God who can meet us at the point of any need that we have. Your pastor was crippled in his knee and struggling with his eye when this year started. Now I can run and I can see better than most of you. God has a way, doesn't He? Amen? He has a way to meet our needs. So let me talk to you about something that's very practical, very applicable, and very critical for us. About 15 months ago, I was speaking to the owner of this building, and I was talking to him about what it is that we recognized we needed to do. Pastor Larry joined me in that dialogue, and we were conversing with him, and we were sharing with him that we'd love to be able to take over the next 10,000 square feet next to us, and we take over the next square feet on the next section. But we met, and we laid out the parameters of what that would require of him. God is my witness. He agreed to all of it. The next day, when everything was drafted, he said no to everything. And I said to Pastor Larry, God's telling us something. Let's don't miss it. I said, tell him we will not lease any of the space. 3 weeks pass, maybe a month. We're sitting in a meeting here in one of the rooms, middle school room, and the owner comes in. He's holding a key, and he says, I have the first 5,000 square feet available to you. You can use it for free. I looked at Larry's. He came back in to tell me the report, and I said, is there anything free in life? Really? Have you ever had anything free in life? I don't think so. I said, you can hang on to the key for posterity's sake, but we're not moving in there. Because it's like God put a wall between that place and us. And whatever we were going to do here, He was going to do it at that moment and not beyond. Well, you can imagine that all fell apart. And then, all of a sudden, one day, a new member of our fellowship called Charlie and myself and said, hey, could I have lunch? I want to talk to you about something. Well, I thought, you know, I certainly want to encourage this gentleman. So we went to lunch, and I can honestly say, I sat there listening to him, and I thought, never happened in a million years. I don't know why he's even telling me this. And we went through the whole dialogue, and it was done. Then, about 3 months ago, I received a call from a gentleman from another church that has struggled and had difficulty, but he wanted to talk to me. Can you imagine a facility that has so much available to it? 114,000 square feet, six times our space. It has an 1,100-seat worship center that's available for us to fill up. It has in it state-of-the-art facilities for us to minister to children. For many of our families who want their children there during the week, the fabulous academy that's connected to it, that's an amazing thing. So let me just talk just for a moment about some of the things that were the affirmation for me, because I want you to understand my heart about how I went through this process. After the first phone call, I walked into the building, and when I walked in that worship center, the peace of God came over me, and I knew that this was a place where we as a people could minister to some who are still there, but also could grow a family to impact even more lives. I not only felt the peace of God, but I also knew that it would be a task that would require the very best of us. And you only get to live once. And in my heart, I want to experience the very best that he has. Well, as you can imagine, the loan on that property was $3.8 million. Some of our capable and gifted men who are on our leadership team began to negotiate. They reduced the price to $2.775 million for us. Amen. The lowest appraisal we have got so far is twice that price. So God has moved in an amazing way. He's given us a fantastic facility. Let me share another unique part of this whole story. If we all do what God intends for us to do, sacrificially, our payment for that complex will be less than what we pay for this. Is that not amazing? We've had to obviously operate very confidentially on this for a number of reasons. One was we were trying to get the bank really low, and we didn't want to act like we were anxious enough that we would say anything or do anything that would cause them to go, "We got him. We've got them." So we very quietly, we have waited. To be honest with you, this was supposed to happen way back a couple months ago. It's been God's timing. And then I told some of the group, I said, "I promise you this, it'll all come together while we're in Romania." Because when you're obedient to God, doing what it is he's called you to do, he opens up windows. See, I have longed for our children to have a playground. I have longed for a place for us to have picnics. I've longed for us to have facilities that we can do other things with. I've longed for us to be able to expand what it is God wants to do through us. And when I look at all the opportunity there, I'm just totally amazed at what God has done. And so when I look at all the affirmations, I realize that God has something in store for us that far exceeds anything we could ever imagine. When you think about that, you realize that, isn't it interesting, God always calls on you to tackle a task bigger than you are? I want to be real transparent with you. I'm 55, soon to be 56. I'm more excited about life right now than ever been in my life. And I'll be honest with you, I have a good life. And when this first came up, I thought, this is going to make me work more than I already work. I mean, I was thinking, you know, how do you make all this happen? You got to realize at 11:45, there are a bunch of people at that other church who are going to meet me for the first time who have no idea who I am. And you imagine what they're just marrying somebody they never met. Imagine what they might feel. So be praying for me after we dismiss as we go over there. But what you discover is that God has a way of bringing to us the most awesome experiences. But I want to talk to you about your role, because we are going to bring these families all together the first Sunday of August. You're going to be in this building for the next four Sundays with me. On August 4th, we're having the biggest service we've ever had all together at 706 North Peachtree Street, the home of One Heart Church. Does that not sound good? I can't wait. And I want to be real transparent with you. When we started One Heart, we started with nothing. We didn't have a dime to our name. We had no idea. And then someone who loved us helped us strategically and dramatically by investing resources to help us move forward. And in that miracle, that family gave $1 million to help us start this church. Until heaven, I'll thank God for them. Still faithful, active, involved in our fellowship. But you have to ask yourself the question, if we're going through the process of affirmation, would it not be other moments where you want an affirmation that God's with it? And I certainly wanted that, because I wanted to make sure that we could manage everything God was putting before us. And we certainly have a capable staff and a capable team, but I wanted to make sure we didn't miss anything. So I asked God again, would you affirm in my heart by letting $1 million be committed before I ever tell anybody publicly? And guess what? He did. Amen? Wow. Do the math in your head a little bit. You reduce a loan by $1 million. You receive commitments before you even get a chance to give of $1 million. You do that math, that's God's math. That's not ours. Now, here's what I want to say to you. And I'm going to try to say this to those who are obviously gone. They're going to hear about this after the evening service in Romania. But I'm sure some of you are already tweeting and texting and emailing. So I'm sure it's flying all over the airwaves. But I want to take a moment. I want to tell you, this is the answer to my longings for the next generation. Because I think our praise team ought to be singing in a state-of-the-art worship center. I think the sound will be amazing. I think that we need to be able to reach more people with the facility. And you want to tell you what's great about it? Once we pay that $2.775 million off, we have rooms that, there are so many rooms there that when you go over to see it next Sunday after the service, I'm opening the whole facility up for you to see next Sunday. When you go over there, don't get lost, because we're not going to try to find you, okay? But be sure to give your offering before you walk in the building, because if you get lost, we want to know that you've already given. Seriously, next Sunday we'll have a chance to be able to go look. And if you're familiar with that church, I just want to say a couple things about them. First of all, they've been through great heartache. We've got some of the former members in our fellowship now. They've been through a lot of great heartache. They have dwindled down to a much smaller congregation. And this has reinvigorated the hearts for them to realize that we're coming. I cannot wait for them to see the children in the hallways once again. Can't wait for them to see what it is we're going to do. And let me tell you something. We are going all out. We will not miss our opportunity. We will not miss our moment. And let me say this to you. If there's any time in your life that you need to line up behind your pastor without hesitation, without doubt, it is now. Because this is our moment. This is our hour. This is what we must do in order to move one heart to the next stage of life. Amen? I can't wait for the folks that are over there to meet so many of you on that first thing we're all together. I'm going to be preaching there at 9:30 for the next 4 weeks. I want them to get to know me better. I've got to make sure there's somebody there that can fix a coconut pie and other things. I got to get them primed and ready for the future. But we have in our fellowship some folks who grew up in that church, who spent their life in it. And we are wanting to open the door for a brand new future for that facility. Now, let me talk to you about lining up behind me, because it's going to require some very, very careful evaluation on your part, and it's going to require you beseeching God. Because the reality is, the only way we can do this is to do what only God would lead you to do. I'm going to ask every person in our fellowship to make a sacrificial gift to God's work and to give it by July 14th, which means you have 2 weeks, okay? Which means you can't go out and get a third job unless you're going to save that up for the 2 weeks and give it. No, I'm talking about giving in a way that when you are old, you will say to your children, I sacrificially opened the door for my church to move to a new level. Now, when you think about sacrifice, that word has unique significance. In fact, as I was studying, getting ready for it, you saw the word in Romans chapter 12, but when I was looking at this whole idea of sacrifice, it's coming to a place where what God wants is more important than what you want. I'll give you an example in our home, just so you understand. My wife and I took half of everything we've ever accumulated for retirement as it relates to account that's managed. We gave it today. Because I didn't want you to ever think that I wouldn't give my very life away for us to accomplish God's purpose. And what I want to encourage you to do is I want you to go home stirred and somber. Because you may have to go home and think, man, how can I do whatever it is God has, he wants me to do. you're going to hear from God. Remember what I read in Isaiah? There will be a voice behind you, and it will say, this is the way, walk in it. And you realize that only God knows what sacrifice looks like for you? I don't know. I have no idea. Someone could be sitting here who could write a check for $1 million to help us pay off the building. I don't know that. I want you to know personally, I've asked every friend I have in life. I have called in every chip I've ever had, asking people to give. I'll give you an example. I have a friend. Had lunch with him 3 weeks ago. Took him to lunch, and I said to him, I need you to get behind what we're doing, even though you'll never be in the building. 3 days later, a check for $50,000 came into this fellowship towards the vision fund of what we're trying to do. I'm not going to put any numbers in any of your head, but I will say this. If you don't give, you won't answer to me. This is a prophetic word that God has given me to say to you. And I don't want you to give today unless you've already arrived at what it is you know that God said to you. There's a second part of the formula that's important. By the way, I've never asked this church to do what I'm asking now. All I've ever asked you to do is tithe, help somebody go on mission trips. And I'm going to tell you, a few times in life, you ought to step it up and make it happen. And this is one of them. And it's one of the moments we don't want to miss. The second part of the formula is that I want to ask you to give either on a weekly or monthly basis for the next 3 years over and above your regular giving to the Vision Fund. Because what I want us to do is I want us to solidify everything we need to be able to accomplish everything that needs to happen. And the other thing I want to ask you to do, if you would for me, is when we start on August 4th, be in church, all right? But we need to be faithful as we walk in. I want us to go in there lockstep together as an army of God's servants. All right, so let me remind you one more time. What is the first very clear expectation that I have for every one of you? Now, by the way, if you're visiting, you can give too. God may bless you as a result of it. I mean, it's not by accident you're in the building today. God may have something planned for you. And you certainly, by the way, you can't take any of it with you. So if you want to make it, you want to do your giving while you're living, then you'll be knowing where it's going. You'll have a great life. But I'm not talking to visitors, really. I'm talking to you as members and who are faithful parts of our fellowship. I want you to arrive at something that's miraculous. You may be a widow here with very little resource. That's fine with me. Just hear God speak. You also may be sitting here with inheritance and other money that you've hung on to, thinking, man, I want to always be comfortable. Listen, we don't operate with comfort. We operate with conviction. I'm convinced of this. Anything you give to what God's up to, he'll bring back into your life in more miraculous ways than you ever dreamed possible. You just have to be willing to trust him. And so today, as you leave out of church, you're going to receive a brochure. And by the way, you walk towards 706, not away from it, 1 mile from us, okay? 1 mile, right off Medlock in historic Norcross, 16 acres of prime property. Now, by the way, we couldn't buy the land for $2.7 million, much less anything else. You're going to get a brochure just like this, titled Vision for the Future. And it's going to tell you everything I just said, and probably in a better way than I did even. You're going to see pictures. You're going to see everything. Then you're going to see right back here. You're going to see this little envelope. And you know what that envelope calls for? It calls for a sacrificial gift and a strategic gift over 36 months. I'm going to give the most I've given monthly beyond our regular giving I have my whole life. And I'm asking God to bless me in amazing ways so I can do it. I asked him the other day to do something that I happen to have certain gifts and skills. I asked him to open a door for a particular thing to happen so I could end up even giving more to accomplish what it is that God intends. We know this. He will never lead you where he doesn't provide for you. And when he provides for you, you will experience God in a way you never dreamed possible. Now, I want to take a moment. We're not going to have an invitation today, because I want to take a moment to pray. And then after I pray, I love every one of you, but I'm leaving you. All right? Because I have to go. In 4 minutes, I have to leave here and go across 1 mile to introduce myself to some folks at 706. So certainly be in prayer for our men. Let me just remind you that next Saturday, you will not be praying in this building. You'll be praying at 706, and we're going to have a prayer time there at that facility. So I invite you to be a part of that at 8 o'clock. Now, you may have questions. If you do, take them to God, and he'll answer every one of them. All right? Because let me tell you what I know. This is God's plan. This is his opportunity for us. This is our future. And we are going to have an amazing ministry as One Heart Church expands. And when we come together, we're going to be praying over that whole facility. We're going to be asking God to use it in amazing ways. And we're going to bless the next generation in a fantastic way. Amen? Amen. Let's give the Lord one more hand because he's good. In case you wonder, we're not stopping any of our mission work. We're actually going to accelerate that because God's going to bless us in amazing ways to be able to do everything we need to do in the world. And there's never going to be an orphan girl look me in the eyes and say, will you be my dad? And me not say yes. Because if we can have an influence on a generation of hopeless kids so they can experience hope, then we will accomplish God's purpose. So I want us to pray, and I want you to anticipate and look forward to going over and seeing the facility. By the way, don't arrive in an amount that makes you comfortable. Arrive in an amount that makes you feel convicted that you're doing what God says to you. And for me personally, I heard it in the first 15 minutes when I walked that facility. God may speak to you that quickly, maybe not. But he will speak to you by July 14th because our finance office is going to be blessed with more gifts than we've ever had in our history. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that we as your people can yield ourselves to you. And today we surrender our hearts to your perfect plan. We bless you for your goodness. We bless you for your faithfulness. We bless you for all that you have in store for us. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless One Heart Church in the most amazing way. As we get ready to expand and move into a fabulous facility, I thank you for the faithfulness that has made this church such have an amazing story over the last 7+ years. But I also thank you for the next 70 years. We'll have a story that's worth telling because we are one heart in you. We love you. We commit this to you, and we bless your name. We pray for guidance for every heart to understand sacrificially what they're supposed to do and to understand strategically what they're supposed to do over the next 3 years. Speak to our people. Speak to your people. Touch their hearts, and we bless you in Christ's name. Amen.